Keep our Bibles open to Psalm 103, Psalm of David, which we have just read. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And this psalm is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving to God. In fact, this psalm can be likened to a painting. A painting on who and what God is. And is painted none other by the sweet psalmist himself, David. David the king, man after God's own heart. And over here in this psalm, we see a very, very beautiful and wonderful portrait of God with brilliant and very rich colors, with high definitions. Today we have high-definition television. Well, here you have a high definition of God and then painted with a lot of contrast. It shows us deeply who and what God is. Who is the God we worship? What is He like? And if someone were to ask you, what is God, are you able to answer that question? In the Westminster Confession, the Westminster Shorter Catechism has a wonderful answer on what is God? And the answer is, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And in this psalm that David has given to us, he paints such a God for us. And when we behold His splendor and His glory, we cannot but bless the Lord with our soul. And so it's very interesting that over here in the first three verses, as well as in the last three verses, the word bless is used repeatedly. You know, in a masterpiece of a painting, usually these very, very precious, priceless, valuable paintings would have a frame. And the frame would be very ornate, you know, with carvings, and would be also very beautiful to look at. And a beautiful and attractive frame would enhance the value and the quality of the painting, as well as to draw attention to the painting. And here in this psalm, we have such a frame. The first three verses, we have the word bless. The first two verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And the word bless is used three times over here in these two verses. And this tells us that the God that David is blessing is none other than the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. So the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is not just a New Testament doctrine. It is found right here, even in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament believers, the Old Testament saints, were Trinitarians as well. And David was a Trinitarian. It's not a Unitarian. Unitarianism is a heresy. There's only one God, and He's only one person. No, there is but one living and true God, we know for sure. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one, only one living and true God, who created heaven and earth, who created us. But He is also three persons. In that one God, there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that we can read from 1 John 5, verse 7. And these three are one. And that's why here David, in the first two verses, was careful to tell us, I'm blessing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord, bless His holy name, bless the Lord. The word bless occurs three times here. And then when we look at the last three verses of the psalm, we also see that the word bless is used again, repeatedly. Bless the Lord, ye His angels. Verse 20. And in verse 21, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts. And then it concludes with verse 22, bless the Lord, all his works. Bless, bless, bless. Bless the triune God. And finally, with a grand finale, says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And that is the wonderful theme of this psalm here. And the word bless here in the first two verses and the last three verses serves as a frame to draw our attention to this God whom we are to bless, to worship, to honor, to glorify, and to serve. And so let us not just consider the word bless here in verses 1 and 2 and talks about the triune God, but here the first three words, all right, of blessing in verses 1 and 2 tells us how we must bless the Lord. How we must bless the Lord. We must bless the Lord with our soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And that refers to our spiritual being. The image of God that is within us. God made us not like the animals. God made us in His image. And with the image of God in us, we can worship Him. We can have a relationship with Him. We can know Him. And we must bless Him. And we are to bless the Lord with our whole spiritual being, all that is within me. And that refers to our mind, our thinking. Refers to our heart, our will, our intentions, our emotions, our feelings. Our whole inner being, spiritual being, must bless the Lord. And so every time we come for worship, please don't just be here physically in body. You must be in the presence of God in His house also in spirit. For they that worship the Lord must worship in spirit and in truth. Is your spirit here? Is your mind here? Is your heart here? And your whole being, your concentration, your mind, your heart, your thinking, your feeling is totally given to the worship of God this morning and this evening. It must be. That's how we must bless the Lord. If we know who He truly is and how powerful He is and how wonderful He is, He is worth every bit of our worship which is due to Him. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And then we must bless the Lord also, not only with all our soul, we must bless Him with holiness in our lives. Bless His holy name. Oh, we must worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Well, these are the words, right? On the wall here. We must worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And so we bless His holy name. And if we are to bless His holy name, it also reminds us that if we name the name of God and name the name of Christ, we must live godly, holy, Christ-like lives. Or else, how can we come to worship Him in the beauty of holiness when we have sinned against Him and we have walked waywardly? So every time we come into God's house, you know, every week, every day of our lives that we live, and before each Lord's Day, we must live our lives holily and godly, so that when we come each Lord's Day to worship the Lord, truly our worship will be acceptable in God's sight with clean hands and pure hearts. And if we have in any way dirtied ourselves and polluted ourselves with the world, well, when we come to God's house, we must not come to God's house with indifference. The Holy Spirit will convict us of our sin and we feel guilty. We know we are not right. You come to God's house and we confess and repent of our sins. And the Lord will cleanse us from our sins. Then we can worship the Lord as a holy people. And then we bless His holy name. So we must come into God's house in such a way. And not only with holiness, but also we must come to God without forgetting all the benefits that we have received from Him. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Forget not all His benefits. Important virtue that we must all have as believers is the virtue of remembrance. Remembrance is a divine virtue because our God is God who remembers. He remembers His covenant. He remembers His promises that He has given to us. And He will never break His promises. And of course, one of the great promises God has given to us is the promise of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And we have all believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall be saved. We are saved right now. We were saved in the past when we confessed our sins and believed on the Lord. We are saved right now. And we will continue to be saved and we will remain saved until the very end, until Jesus comes back. And those who have truly trusted in the Lord will never be lost. God will make sure of it. God keeps His promises. He remembers. He remembers. And He calls us by name. And He wants us to remember His name. His name is holy. And He also wants us never to forget all His benefits. All His benefits. The blessings that we have received from Him. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. We sung just now. Have we counted our blessings? Many a time we take for granted the blessings from the Lord. We pray to Him. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. And then the next moment, we do not bless Him. We forget to thank Him. Not only with our lips, we also fail to thank Him with our substance. Have we truly blessed the Lord? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Never forget, because forgetfulness is the sin of ingratitude. And my teacher, Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh, tells the students that ingratitude is almost an unpardonable sin. I think that's very true. The Lord has saved us. How we do not deserve His love. But He so graciously sent His only begotten Son, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins, suffered for us, died on the cross, shed His precious blood, rose from the dead, and even on the cross He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We don't deserve this. Yet the Lord saved us. Are we grateful, eternally grateful? Grateful always, every day? And if we are truly grateful to the Lord, we will not forget Him. Day by day, every day of our lives, we will bless the Lord. Never complain against Him. Never murmur against Him. Never doubt, never deny, never rebel. But always bless Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And then, in verses 20 to 22, right, we have the word bless again. Here, right, the first two verses, the word bless, tells us how we ought to bless the Lord. And the last three verses tell us who must bless the Lord. And here we read of the angels. Bless the Lord, ye His angels. And the angels are spiritual creatures. They are ministering spirits. They serve in the very presence of God in heaven. And they are messengers of God. And these angels are to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength. They are powerful beings. They do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. And then, not only these types of angels, preaching angels. And then in verse 21, we also find the hosts of God blessing Him. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts. And the word host here can also be translated as armies. His armies. And these are the angelic armies. So here you have the preaching angels and the fighting angels that serve God in His very presence. And they bless the Lord. Ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. And what else must bless the Lord? Verse 22, bless the Lord all His works, all His creation, in all places of His dominion. And that includes us. We are creatures of God, created by God and created special in His own image. And all that God had created on this earth must bless and praise Him. And so basically, verses 20, 22 tells us that every creature that God had created, both physical and spiritual, must bless the Lord, and we must bless the Lord all the time, every time, and everywhere. Okay? And that's what it's trying to say here. And then with the grand finale concludes, bless the Lord, O my soul. And that's the whole purpose of man, which the Westminster Shorter Catechism tells us, as to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And David understood this doctrine and this purpose in our life well. We must glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Enjoy Him. His benefits, right? Tells us here, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What are the benefits we have received from the Lord? And with this frame, all right, this wonderful and beautiful frame of blessing that David had put up, he now draws our attention to his portrait, his painting of who our God is, right, in the verses in between. So let us now look at verses in between. Full of color, full of definition, full of contrast. And it gives us a very, very clear and vivid picture of who our God is and what He is, and why we must bless Him with all our soul, all our heart, mind, and strength. Firstly, we find in verses 3 to 5, the who passages. Who passages. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfied thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The who passages here. And this gives, you know, this painting and portrait of God that David is painting here is not black and white. It is full of colors, rich and brilliant and bright colors. And here, what are the benefits we have received from the Lord? And here, David tells us, this God and this Lord whom we bless is Savior. Is Savior. Our Savior. The only Savior of the world. Okay? And so we have the different aspects of the saving grace of God being listed for us, painted here in these three verses, in verses 3 to 5. Look at each one of them. Salvation that our Savior has given us in the different and various aspects. Okay, firstly, what are the benefits we have received from this Lord God whom we serve and are blessing? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? We have received the benefit of forgiveness. Forgiveness is something all of us need. Something very precious. Especially the forgiveness that comes from God. How we need His forgiveness. Because if God has not forgiven us of our sins, we are finished. We're all condemned to hell. And we deserve that condemnation because we are born in sin. And daily in our lives, we have broken the commandments of God. And we deserve His judgment. And have we received the forgiveness of sins? Are you still guilt-ridden? You know, those who have their sins forgiven are freed from the guilt of sin, washed away by the precious blood of Christ. And we are joyful all the time because of this. We are being released, being freed. You're no longer in prison. You know, the word forgiveness has the idea of release. Release. To let go. And when God forgives us, He sets us free. He lets us go. You owe me all these things. Alright? I will not collect your debt. You owe me all this, but I release you of all your debt. And now you're a free man. And that's the idea of forgiveness here. It forgiveth all our iniquities, saving our souls. And God not only saved our souls, but He also saved our bodies, who healeth all thy diseases. And this body that we have, this mortal flesh that we are clothed with, is very frail and very weak, and plagued by many physical weaknesses, pain, suffering, disease. Right? And the Lord here says that He has healed our diseases. Of course, right now in our life, here on earth, we still suffer sickness and disease. But has He truly healed all our diseases then? Of course. Because we long for the day when we will receive our glorified, resurrected body, which is a body, a fleshly body of flesh and bones. And one day all diseases will be no more. No more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more tears. Who healeth all thine diseases. And right now also, in terms of our spiritual life, yes, God has forgiven us of all our sins. And we are saved. We are His children. We are saints. But yet, daily we struggle with sin, don't we? Has He truly forgiven us of our sins? Do we really have victory over sin? Have we truly been set free? Yes, if we walk in the Spirit. And one day, when Jesus comes back and He takes us home, every sin, the sin nature will be obliterated. No more sin. So we long for that day. And truly, the benefits are genuine benefits, true and real benefits, which we not only have right now, but we will receive in all its fullness, in all their fullness, when the end comes, when Jesus returns. Okay. And then verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. The benefit of redemption. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. All of us are destined for eternal damnation in hell, in the lake of fire. But He has redeemed us. We are all dead in our sins. But He has given us eternal life. He has redeemed us, bought us by the precious, invaluable, priceless blood of Christ, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and then who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He crowns us with His loving kindness and tender mercies. How we need all these things. And then He also, another benefit is that He satisfies our mouth with good things. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things. He satisfies us with good things. Indeed, in our life on earth, our Heavenly Father knows what is best for us. And He will not give us that which is no good or bad. When we pray to Him, He will always give us the best. Give us what is good. Because He's a good Father. And so He gives us strength day by day our life, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. And this is not just, you know, food that we eat. Give us this day our daily bread, and He gives us delicious food to eat, strengthen our bodies, but He also gives us spiritual food in His word, the milk and the meat of God's word, who satisfies thy mouth, spiritual mouth, with good things, the milk and the meat of God's word, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Like the eagles. Just a few days ago, I was in Langkawi. I took a holiday in Langkawi. First time there. And what I discovered about Langkawi, some of you might have been there, is that it's an island with many eagles. Eagles. And it's just a wonderful sight to see all these eagles flying high up there in the air. These majestic birds and creatures of the air, and then soaring in the sky so effortlessly. Well, this is one of the benefits God has given to us. Thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And Isaiah 40 verse 31 tells us, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we draw this strength from His Word and by His Spirit. And then from verses 6 to 10, we have the Lord and the He passages. Right? Lord and He passages. Verses 6 to 10. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment. Verse 7, He made known His ways unto Moses. And verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. And then verse 9, He will not always chide. And then verse 10, He hath not dealt with us after our sins. So the Lord and the He passages. And over here it adds definition, right, to who God is. The Lord executeth, verse 6, righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Please do not think that our God is only a God of love. Yes, God is love, and the God of the Bible is a God of love. But also understand, and here the psalmist also wants us to know, that our God is a God of hatred. Hatred? What do you mean, hatred? God can hate? Yes, our God is a God of hatred. There is such a thing as holy hatred in the Scriptures. For God hates sin. And God hates all kinds of error and transgression and rebellion against Him. There is holy hatred. And those who sin against Him, who break His commandments and who rebel against Him, God will judge. And God will execute righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. So those of us as believers, as we live a holy and godly life on earth, and we are being ridiculed, scoffed at, oppressed and persecuted, well, do we have any comfort from the Lord? Yes. Don't think that the Lord is not seeing. Please don't think that God is not taking any action. You know, God is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. God is long-suffering. He wants us to confess our sins and repent of our ways, or else He will punish, He will judge. And for those of us who have been oppressed and persecuted for our faith, we ought not to take matters into our own hands. We commit everything to the Lord. And we must bless and do good even to our enemies. Love our enemies as Jesus commands us to. We must do that. But how about all the injustice, all the evil and the wicked that has been done? You mean they get off scot-free? No, God will hold the wicked accountable for all their words and all their deeds against His saints, His people. And He has His time. He will execute righteousness. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So don't take matters into your own hands. You do good to those who do bad or evil towards you. Return the evil with good. That's what the Lord teaches us. And then, the justice of God, let God, the righteous judge, perform it. Right? That's what the Lord is telling us here. And that's what David is saying. David has many enemies, you know. There are many who pursued after his life, even King Saul, and later on his own son, Absalom. And David knew how to cry to the Lord. So the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And then verse 7, He made known His ways unto Moses. Our God has given to us the benefit of knowledge and wisdom. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. And how has He made known His ways and His acts, His deeds? Through His Word. How we thank God for the Holy Scriptures. All 66 books of the Bible, filled with many stories, right? many narratives, many testimonies, many statutes, commandments, judgments, precepts. What a wonderful word we have, prophecies and promises. The stories tell us about the past. The promises tell us of the present, and the prophecies tell us of the future. Oh, how rich God's word is, and He has made known His ways and His acts unto us, His children. And this is knowledge, this is wisdom. You want to be wise, you want to be a philosopher, please don't go and study under you know, Kierkegaard or Sartre or Nietzsche or Plato or any of these philosophers in the world, and they can never give you the answer to what life is all about. You need wisdom. You study not philosophy. You study theology. You know God. You know His word. You be very wise, because this wisdom comes not from man but from God. And Dr. William Leon Phelps, a distinguished professor of literature from Yale University, once said, "A high school student with a knowledge of the Bible, knowledge of God, is more educated than a university graduate with no knowledge of the Bible or no knowledge of God." That's a very true statement. You want wisdom, you seek it from God's word. And that's the benefit we have that God has given to us. That's why we bless Him. We bless Him. So study theology. Many people say, oh, theology is very boring. Doctrine is so boring. We want practical stuff. No, doctrine is very exciting. Doctrine is very practical also. You don't believe it? You come to FEBC and you find out. You experience it. And we have night classes open to the public. Monday night, we have Calvin's Institutes. And then Thursday night, we have the book of Genesis being taught by Reverend Dr. Kwek Swan Yew. I teach on Monday night, Calvin's Institutes. Although we are already, gone through quite a bit, half the semester is gone, but yet if you want to come and study, you have not registered, but you want to come, we welcome you to come. Just to sit in and listen and to enjoy the benefit of God's knowledge and wisdom in His Word. Right? No need to pay any fees this semester. But next semester you come, you must pay. But come, enjoy all these benefits. Why are we missing out on all these things? Why is it that we don't bless the Lord as we should? Is it because we lack this knowledge, wonderful knowledge and wisdom from God? The more you know God and the more you are filled with His wisdom, the more you want to praise Him and bless Him and thank Him. Okay, so come, study. What else? Well, here we also are told in verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." The benefits we have received, His tender mercies, His loving kindness. And He has not punished us according to what we deserve. Oh, how He is so kind and so merciful and gracious to us. Have you experienced this love of God? I hope you have. And then in verses 11 to 16, you have all these "for as" or "as far as" passages. And this, and here David adds not only definition but contrast, right? Contrast. To show you very clearly who and what God is and His benefits for us. Look at all these verses. Look at how deep and how great His love is. You know, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. And He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Well, look at how deep and how great His love is. Verse 11, "For as the heaven is high above the earth." Can you measure the distance between heaven and earth? Immeasurable, right? For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. His mercy has no bounds. Infinite mercy to us, toward them that fear Him. And then as far as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? The more you walk towards the east, and the east will never end, it will still be east, and that's how far the west will be, the further, all right, it will be. And the same in the opposite direction. You can measure east from west. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. God not only forgives us of our sins, He forgets. He forgets. He doesn't drag up all the sins that He has forgiven us already and we have confessed and repented. And He puts them all away as far as the east is from the west, as far as heaven is from earth. I mean, totally disappear. That's how He forgives us. And this causes us to bless Him, isn't it? Oh, how wonderful He is. It's not like people on earth today. They may say, I forgive you, but I cannot forget. I forgive you now, but later on you cross me again, I will remember. And I'll, you know, drag out all your past sins and then I'll nail you. Well, you know, they bear such deep grudges. Not God. Not God. As far as the east is from the west, God says, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. You see the contrast here? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Indeed, we are very weak and sinful creatures. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower in the field, so he flourisheth. The wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. You know, what about our God? Our God is our Creator. But then our God also became man in the second person of the Trinity. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ came. And He became man. And He lived with us for 33 and a half years. And please don't ever say, God can never understand me. How can God understand man? God is God. He only understands Himself. How can He understand man? No, God understands us. He knows us. Because He became man. And the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that we have not a great high priest that cannot, you know, sympathize or empathize with us. In Hebrews 4:15 and 16, we are told, for we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but He was tempted in all points, like as we are, with only one difference, no sin, yet without sin. And so please don't say, God can never understand all my problems, all my difficulties, all my sufferings, all my pains, all my tears. He understands. He sympathizes with us. He pities us. And He also empathizes. He feels with us too. And He knows how to meet our needs. Emotional needs. Spiritual needs. Mental needs. Whatever physical and spiritual needs we have. He knows how to meet those needs. He knows us inside and out. And so, the author of Hebrews tells us, let us come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help. That we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So this encourages us not only to pray to God, but because He's such a God, we also bless Him. Isn't it? And then it says here, right, verse 17 onwards, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Now, if you want to have all these wonderful benefits from God, and it's available for free, all right, you don't have to pay a cent, not also by any good work we can do, that we can obtain all these benefits from the Lord. But if we want to obtain all these benefits from the Lord, we must make sure we are His children. We must fear Him. These benefits are for those who fear Him, who fear God. And please don't just think that the word fear here means, oh, just a reverence, a respect for God. No, it's just not a simple reverence or respect for Him. I mean, I respect our government leaders, our minister mentor, our senior minister, our prime minister. These men are worthy of respect. But the word fear here is not just respect. It is what is stated. Fear. Be very afraid. Be terrified of God. Be very afraid of Him. And fear Him. Fear Him. By submitting yourself to Him. Obeying His every command, you see. And worship Him. Prostrate, face down to the ground. Fear Him. Be afraid of Him. Not just revere Him. Be afraid of Him. And when you fear Him, what will you do? Well, you see yourself. Oh, I deserve to die. Because I'm standing before the thrice holy God. And I'm so utterly sinful and undone. I deserve to die. I'm very afraid of God's judgment and punishment. And so I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. When you fear God like this and you kowtow to Him and humble yourself to the dust and confess your sins, He will save you. You see, that's how great His mercy is, His love is. And He's ready to forgive you. And then He will make you His child, son or daughter, saved by Christ. And to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. So here is all the application. David paints a wonderful portrait of God and now tells us in practical terms what we must do, right, to continue to enjoy all these benefits. Fear God. Remember. Keep His covenant. Remember His commandments to do them. And the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Look at how powerful He is. And so we worship Him. Are you His child? Are you born again? Are you saved? Because if you're not, you do not fear God. You do not keep His covenant. You don't do His commandments, you will not receive all these benefits He wants to freely give to you. He has for you to enjoy. But if you fear Him, right, you keep His covenant, you obey His commandments, you enjoy this God. And He wants us to enjoy Him. If we want to enjoy Him, we must glorify Him first. That's why the Westminster Divines tell us, you not enjoy God first, you glorify God first, and then you enjoy Him. Enjoy Him forever. And that's what this psalm here is trying to teach us. Okay? And then finally, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, and bless the Lord. And a grand finale, bless the Lord, O my soul. What else can we do but to bless Him? What a wonderful portrait. Awe-inspiring, wonderful portrait of our God. I pray we may be encouraged because we are truly worshiping the living and true God. He is true. And Jesus is the only Savior. Know Him. Know Him. Know Him well. Know Him richly. Walk closely with Him. And you will experience all these benefits He has for you. And then every day of your life, you will know how to bless Him. And bless Him with all your soul, mind, and strength. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, surely our words cannot describe enough the immensity of Thy person, how great Thou art. But we thank Thee for this psalm, Thy inspired, preserved, infallible, inerrant words that tell us who Thou art and what Thou art. O Lord, help us to know Thee richly and deeply, love thee also with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to bless thee all the days of our life until we see thee face to face. In Jesus' name we pray.